Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and let us shout joyfully. That's what we want to do this morning. That's what we want to do every day. And we're thankful that we're able to be here and to expound upon the Word of God and to think about the good things of God. Thinking about things we should think about, my wife leaned over and told me this morning that I may have misled someone who doesn't know Betty Beck. I'm not sure if I did or not, but Sharon said I made it sound like she died. She didn't die. She moved. She moved. So Betty Beck is alive as far as I know and well. And so that's good news. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John. We're going to begin in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we've got some verses to look at here. Jesus said, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." That's verse 9. In verse 10, he says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And we're going to focus mostly on chapter 15, verse 10, but we do want to make mention about chapter 9, verse 9. The lesson titled today is, "You Will Abide in My Love, If." And so keep that "if" in mind. So as we look here, notice that what Jesus says. He says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." And as we look at this here, "as the Father loves me," it's a beautiful, beautiful picture, a beautiful imagery. It's wonderful to know that as much as the Father loves Jesus, his Son, the Son loves each and every one of us. We know how wonderful that is. John the Baptist, in John chapter 3 and at verse 35, John the Baptist, he proclaimed Jesus. He says, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands." That's how much the Father loved the Son. I know my father, when I grew up in businesses with him, different times, different places, different states, different cities. But my dad always ran a business. And you know, when I was 28 years old, let's go back. When I was really working with him a lot was back when I was about 9 years old, 8 and 9 years old. My dad taught me how to sweep the floor the right way. He did. And I was really good at sweeping floors. In fact, I was so good at sweeping floors that when I was 28 years old, which was the last year that I was working with my father, I was still sweeping floors. We had a furniture business. We had record business. We sold computers and technology. I did programming, but I still swept floors. And it's I say this because my father's love was a little different than God's love for Jesus and God's love for us. My father didn't give me those things. When I was 28, I was still asking for money. God gave him all things into his hands. And God has given us heaven if we keep his commandments. And so keep that in mind. Jesus himself speaking of his father in John chapter 5, and at verse 20, John chapter 5 and at verse 20, "The Father loves the Son and shows him all things of himself. He will show him greater works than these that you may marvel." Jesus was shown everything by the Father. Nothing was held back. And that's a wonderful relationship. And God is doing that to each and every one of you. You should be glorying as we think that through. Realize that God is showing you everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Everything. He's holding nothing back. And all we need to do is to delve into this word. Remember from Philippians, we meditate on these things that are true and lovely and so on. We have it all right here at our fingertips. We have the breath of God printing these things out for us through the pens of the apostles. And listen, it doesn't get better than that. To know how much God loves us. As the Father loved me, Jesus said. And then Jesus says, I have loved you, I also have loved you. As Jesus' love from the Father he received, he transmits that or reciprocates that love to us. And there's no equal to Jesus' love. No equal at all. You know, you look in your Bibles at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and at verse 8. What does he say? But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How gracious is God? How wonderful is that kind of love that Jesus would come down and die for us? You know, and Jesus had a choice, but he obeyed the Father's will. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's you. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What kind of love is that? What kind of love is that? God sent Jesus to us. 1 John chapter 4 and at verse 9. He sent Jesus to us. In this, the love of God was manifested that God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, into the world that we might live through him. He sent Jesus into this disgusting, sin-filled world so that we might live and have life more abundantly. You know, it's kind of like the fireman going into a smoke-filled room or some man running into a house to save someone that the house is on fire and it's filled with smoke. You can't breathe. It chokes you. And they ran in. It's like 9/11 when we saw those firemen and those policemen going into the buildings that were burning, up the steps that were crumbling, and trying to save people. And they didn't care for their own lives, but they suffered the smoke and the ash and all that horrible dust after the building did fall, and they continued. Some of them died later because of it. But God sent his Son into this world, a world where you would think God couldn't even breathe as a man, where the sin would just choke him like smoke in a burning building. And God sent his Son into this world, his only begotten Son, that we might live through him. What kind of love God has for you and me. And it's encouraging and uplifting and exciting to me. If you keep my commandments, Jesus said, you will abide in my love. As I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Listen to this as we go through these texts. If you keep my commandments, he says. Now notice what it says. You will abide. You will abide in my love. And then he says, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And I want you to consider verse 10 here where Jesus says those words, you will abide in my love. And we need to understand something right up front. We need to understand that you will abide is not a command. It sounds like a command, doesn't it? You will abide in my love. You keep my commandments and you will abide. That's not a command. And it's important to understand that. There's two places in this text where Jesus uses the term abide. He uses it twice. And we want to look at those in reverse order for the sake of the lesson. So let's look at this where it says, and abide in his love. Jesus says, and he's going to abide in the Father's love. Jesus applies this, abide in his love. I abide is what that really says. If you look up those words, it has a Greek omega at the end of it. It means I abide. Jesus is saying, I abide. It's a verb, present tense, indicative, active. And It doesn't matter what all that means, but what it really boils it down to is Jesus is, he abided in God's love at some point in time after his birth. He kept the Father's command. He was going about the Father's business, and it meant that it started here, and it is continuing on. It's continuing on. It's never going to stop. As we look at that, and by the way that it's laid out, Jesus is abiding right now, then, and in the present, and he's abiding. It's ongoing. It'll never cease. And because Jesus can't stop. He can't stop abiding in the Father's love. And then there are no ifs with Jesus. You know, Jesus says, if you... But here, there's no ifs. Jesus always did what the Father commanded him. He always spoke what the Father spoke. He always did what the Fathers did. There were no ifs with Jesus. He is the perfect example of what it means to abide. And so keep that in mind as we move forward now to the first half of the verse, or backwards, however you want to say it. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. You will abide, he says. Now, this is a verb also, but he says here, it's future, indicative, active. Now, think about that word future and the word active. We'll just kind of rest on that. You know, what it means is that his disciples, whom he's talking to in context, and by proxy it comes over to us through the Holy Spirit, he says the disciples will be abiding. That's what it means, future. Not right now, you know. There's some things that have to happen. Peter has to deny me. I have to die on the cross. I need to be buried 3 days. You need to go to Jerusalem and cower down in fear. And I need to be raised from the grave, and then I'm going to come back and show you. And then you're going to abide in my love. But it's future tense. It will take place in the future, is what he's saying. And I will continue only, or it will continue only, if they keep the Lord's commandments. So they will abide in his love. You know, Judas didn't. And others. But listen, for the apostles, the disciples, they continued keeping the commandments. Therefore, they continued to abide in the love of the Lord. Remember what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. The apostle Paul there, he makes a great statement that I think could easily be applied here. The Apostle Paul's talking here, and he says, for if we are beside ourselves, if we are beside ourselves, the Apostle says. And, you know, they're out doing things for Christ, they're abiding in Christ, they're following and teaching the doctrine of Christ. And the Apostle Paul here at verse 13 in chapter 5, he says, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are sound of mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us. Now, that's where I want that focus to be. Compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all die. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for him. Hey, listen, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, if you do what I say, the bottom result is you will abide in my love. And so it's a wonderful imagery as we think this through. And listen, keeping his commandments, keeping the commandments of Christ, we can testify. Each one of us, we have that light in us right now. We can testify that keeping his commandments is proof of true love. It's proof of true love. Because it involves more than just saying. It involves more than just speaking the words. It requires obedient faith, living faith. And that's exactly what you all are doing right here and now. We're abiding in His love. He said, forsake not the assembly. Why are we here? Because it's a commandment and we love the Lord. And because we keep the commandment, we are, quote, abiding in the love of Christ. Think about this. Have you ever, you've heard this phrase, actions speak louder than words. Okay? Action, there's another one, talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words. Your sitting here right now is action. The origin of this axiom is really interesting, and I wouldn't want to get too stuck on this, but when we think about men give credit to themselves for saying things like, actions speak louder than words. And we tend to do that. We tend to take the glory from whoever and keep it for ourselves. Abraham Lincoln, they say, one man, he gave credit to Abraham Lincoln, who used it in his Cooper Union address back in 1860. And he literally wrote those words down, actions speak louder than words. That was in 1860. And we can go back further than that. There was a time back in 1736 that a work called Melancholy State of Proverbs, actions speak louder than words and are more to be regarded. And we can go back further than that. Michael Montage, de Montage, back in the 1500s, he said, the saying is a different thing from doing. It all sounds pretty good. You know, but I think about God. I think about Jesus. And I think they said it first. God said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 18, now this is back in 90 to 95 A.D., my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. When we love in deed and in truth, then we will be transported into the love of Christ. We will abide in His love. Jesus, He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Actions speak louder than words. You can call me Lord, Lord all day long, but if you're not doing the will of the Father, then you go away from me, you workers of iniquity. That's what Jesus ultimately said. Actions speak louder than words. Jesus said, these people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Actions speak louder than words. These people teach the doctrine of men as though it were the doctrine or the teachings of God. He called them hypocrites. Actions speak louder than words. So we're in this together, and we're here today to worship God, to listen and to learn and to grow in our faith. Actions speak louder than words. People can tell me all day long, I'm a Christian. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've heard the word, I'm a big Christian. Brother Robert and I were at the Home Depot a week ago or so, and we ran into a fella that used a cuss word. And when I poked him and said, you be careful now, I'm a preacher. And all of a sudden he says, I'm a great Christian. I love Jesus. Isn't he great? Of course, then he went on to a rant about how all people today are seeing visions and signs and wonders, and Jesus is coming back any minute now. He's attributing the virus to the end times, to the return of Christ. Anyway, Jesus, God, they said this first. We need to be what we need to be. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, enters the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Here's the point. Jesus, in these two verses, he's telling his disciples, he's telling us, he's telling people who are following him that we need to come, and there are days for those disciples back then. In context, there's days that are coming when they need to be, they'll be moving forward if they keep his commandments. If they do that, they will abide in his love. Jesus is not asking them to do anything he himself didn't do. He's not doing that. Hebrews chapter 5 and at verse 8, if you remember, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience through his sufferings, the things that he suffered. Jesus, he was on this earth. He was the Son of God, and yet he didn't. He learned obedience. He did just the same things. He suffered the same things, and he still went on through. In every bit, the same matter. Our manner, our own obedience becomes the process. Now listen, our obedience becomes the process that brings us to abide in Christ. Our obedience is that process that enables us, literally, to abide in Christ. And I want you to think about this. In 1 John chapter 5, and at verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. John chapter 14, in our text, going back just one chapter, John chapter 14, verse 15, if you ask anything, or I'm sorry, if you love me, he says in verse 15, you keep my commandments, John chapter 14, verse 15. And you note that it's important to that we see that the part of this text applies to every one of us. The part of this text applies to every one of us, and yet there are parts and portions to this that only applied to the disciples. When we look at this, how important it is to make a distinction there. In verses 15 and verse 16, he says, no longer will I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things I have that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Well, you know, that was given, that promise was given to the disciples. He says in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Well, that was the disciples. And so there are certain things here that we want to be careful. They applied just to them, but some of those things we can apply to ourselves today. Verse 26 in this chapter, he says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you, and that applied to the disciples. That's not that particular Helper, that particular portion of the Holy Spirit was given only to those disciples. Well, let me illustrate, not to get bogged down on that. In Matthew chapter 5, okay, what we're talking about here is if we keep his commandments, he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. It's not a command. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to let our light shine, right? Let your light shine in the world. And so here's what happens. If we do that, here's what happens. That goes down through this funnel. It goes down through this funnel. It's the funnel of commandments. So if we do that, that just goes down into the funnel, and then you will abide in my love. When we do that, we keep his command. Here's another one, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, the first part. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. That's a commandment. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love God. We're supposed to love our enemies. And when we practice that, that goes down into the funnel here of commandments, and it comes out on the other side, and we're abiding now in the love of Christ. 544b, the second half. Bless those who curse you, Jesus said. Do good for those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Do we do that? Should we be doing that? Of course we should be doing that. But listen, if we don't bless those who curse us, if we don't do good for those who hate us, if we don't pray for those who spitefully use us and persecute us, that funnel just sits there like that. And then we won't be abiding in anything, but we do, don't we? And you will abide in my love. As we look at these things, Matthew 5:44b, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? So what do? We love everyone. You get that atheist coming at you with full force, you love that atheist. You get that person coming with you with condemnation because of your faith, you love that person. You mention the need to save children's lives and eliminate abortion, and you get all kinds of criticism and hate from a multitude of directions, and yet you love that person. Somebody comes to you and says, I'm a practicing homosexual. Of course, they don't say that anymore, but all those acronyms and names for different gender types and lifestyles, that person, you hate that sin, but you know what? You love that person because their soul is just as valuable as yours. He says, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren who love you, don't you do any more than anybody else? But listen, you practice that command and you will abide in my love. That's what this is going to. It's telling us that as we walk in the light, as we practice the teachings of Christ, as we apply the commands to our lives and live those lives, then we will abide in the love of Christ. You think this through. Matthew chapter 5, verse 46 through 47. That's what he said. If you love those who love you, then what have you got? Well, one thing you don't have is you won't have the ability to abide in Christ's love. Because the if, you're leaving that out. You're leaving out the if. If you love those who love you, you're leaving out the if, and we can't do that. That if is a big deal word. Who did Jesus love? John 3:16. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. John 3:16, God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, everybody, that's who he loves. John 4:9, remember the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman? Remember what she said to Jesus? How is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus loved her. His disciples came and they're a little confused. What are you doing over there talking to that woman? Listen, Jesus loved even her. Who is it that came to Jesus while he was on the earth? Matthew chapter 11, verse 5. Who was it that came to? It was the blind. It was the lepers. It was the lame. It was those that needed to be cleansed, those who were deaf and those who were blind, and even the dead. They came. The dead didn't come, but Jesus brought them up. But the idea is that it wasn't the perfect, as, quote, Pharisees who were so perfect. No, it was the decrepit, the deplorables, to quote a phrase. And Jesus, the poor came to Jesus and he preached the gospel to them and he healed them. Matthew 23, verse 37. What did Jesus say about Jerusalem and relating this to the Pharisees? Oh, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stoned those who were sent. How often, he says, how often did I want to gather you up together and like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing, but he still loved them. He still loved them. One more, you know. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. We need to be doers. What did James say? James chapter 1, verse 21 through 24. Remember James? Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, or overabundance of naughtiness, depending on what version you're reading, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be you doers of that word. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, and he observes what he sees in himself, and he goes away and immediately forgets what manner of man he was, what kind of man he was. We need to be doers of the word. That's what goes through that funnel when we obey him. And if we do that, we are going to be abiding in his love. In that same chapter of James, verse 25, James 1, he says, But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, listen, this one is blessed in his deeds. That's why it's so important to abide. Because we're going to be blessed. Literally, it is the supreme direction as we think about this. I abide in my love, Jesus says, just as he abided in the Father's love. Conditionally, if you keep his commandments, you will abide in his love. Jesus isn't asking his disciples to do anything he's never done himself. The way we live through Christ, to develop desires, to embrace God's will in our lives, moment to moment, you know, day by day, week by week, month by month, we're looking forward. We're abiding in that love. We choose to follow. We choose to obey. We choose to keep the commandments. And through his power, we're abiding in his love. Remember what John wrote? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. You remember that? John, 1 John 4, and at verse 8. Look at that with me. 1 John 4 and at verse 8. He says, he who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. Now think that. You're not keeping the commandments if you don't know God. And if you don't know God, you can't keep the commandments. Connect the dots, because if you don't do that, then you don't have the love of God. It's pretty simple. Look at verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. So there it is. It's the supreme direction. And as we look at this word to love, when you abide in my love, it boils down to the idea of agapo here, agapao, agapo, I love. It means actively doing what the Lord prefers with him, by his power, by his direction. It's the true and living way. It's always defined by God as discriminating affection, which involves choice and selection. If is the choice. The selection is to follow God or not follow God. Jesus says, you are my friends, and there's that big if. That word if. It's a big word in the scriptures because it makes a big difference. The disciples of Christ prove themselves. We prove ourselves because to be his friends if we do the things that he commands. You know, when Jesus was born, there's some people came and they wanted to worship him. They wanted to give him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Herod wanted to kill him, right? Kill all the babies, 2 years and younger. Kill all the toddlers. Let's just destroy them all just so that we can make sure we get that baby called Jesus. Some people loved him. Some people hated him. Back in the days in Egypt, in Pharaoh wanted to kill all the male children that were born to the Jews because he was afraid he was going to lose power. You are my friend if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father I've made known to you. You remember why Saul was rejected? Samuel says to Saul, the Lord has great delight. Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices in obeying the voice of the Lord? There's your doing. He says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heed more than the fat of rams. He says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. If we don't abide, and if we don't keep the commandments, if we're not part of that other side of the if, the good's positive side of the if, then we're just like Samuel said to Saul. Saul was rejected. He didn't go through that funnel of commandments. He didn't come out on the other side. And he did not continue to walk in the love of Christ. And so we look at that. Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I have commanded you." Think of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. "Though he was a son," we read this earlier, "yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." You want eternal salvation? You got to start at the upper part of that funnel, and you got to keep the commandments. And as they tumble down through, you will abide. You will abide in his love. And you remember here, Jesus, look at verse 15 and 16. He says, "I no longer call you servants." What's he calling them now? He's calling them friends. He's calling them friends. Right? "I'm calling you friend." Why? Look at verse 17 or 16. "You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father, in my name, he may give you." Wow. You know, he called you friend. He's calling them friends. He's calling you friend. "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Listen, go back up. Verse 13. Jesus laid down his life for his friends. "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." He did that. He did that. He laid down his life. Romans chapter 16, Paul says, "And having been set free from sin, you became slaves to righteousness." He laid down his life so that we could be free from sin, so that we could keep his commandments, so they would funnel down and become us abiding in his love. And we will abide in his love. When we abide in his love, we're set free from sin. We're set free from sin. We're set free from sin. You can abide in the love of Christ today. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can begin there to keep a commandment where Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Mark chapter 16, verse 16. You can keep that commandment today, and you can abide, then begin to abide in his love by continuing to walk in the light. If you're a Christian and you have been baptized, but you haven't been keeping the commandments, whatever, you know, we didn't go through a lot of the commandments, but there are plenty, and you know most. You can abide in that commandment today. You can repent, you can be restored back to God, you can still be called a friend of God. And you will abide in his love. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what's in your heart, but I know this. If you need to make a change, if you need to obey the gospel, right now, today's the time. If you have need, come forward as we stand and as we sing.